Joel chapter 2, when we started our every word all year, when we started that, I knew there were going to be some of these texts that I just couldn't wait to get to, that I was just longing to get to. And Joel chapter 2 is one of them, when he starts talking about how in those days, in the days to come, I'm going to pour out my spirit in those days. I've been longing for the time that we could come together around Joel chapter 2. And not just because it's Joel chapter 2, but honestly, I'm kind of playing favorites, because it gets picked up again later in the New Testament. And that's why I remember it so well. Because on the day that God just sort of exploded into the world that would become our world, people who would live in Him, this verse was picked up. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord. And this may sound like the woo-woo stuff. This may be weird, but let me try to catch you up just a little bit. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, who so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, who put on flesh to dwell among us and lived His life among us, tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin, taking on the form of a servant and modeling what it would look like for you and me to live this life in His power. And then when He was getting ready to go back to heaven, after the cross, after the resurrection, when He was getting ready to go back into heaven, he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. My Father is going to send someone to come and be a comforter to you. He's going to send someone to come and be a counselor to you. He's going to send someone to come and He's going to remind you, hey, you know, when you did this, when you said this, when you went there, man, you probably have some repentance in your future over that one. The Father would send someone to whisper in your ear when you were getting it right and nobody knew that, when you were getting it wrong and nobody knew that either, and you had to come clean with God. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm not going to leave you without a comforter, a counselor, a convictor of sin, someone to come alongside you. And that's what He was talking about. That's what He was talking about here in Joel chapter 2. When Joel is writing into a time that is really dark days. But he says, there's going to come a time when you will know again that I am in Israel. There's going to come a time that you will know again that I am the Lord your God and that there is no other. That you're going to know again that never again will my people have to be ashamed. And afterward, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want us to spend some time around that passage in Joel chapter 2. I will pour out my spirit in those days. And precious ones, I just want to invite you into a naivete before the Lord. I want to invite you into sort of an openness before the Lord, that maybe those days are actually these days. That maybe those days and those people are actually our sons and daughters, our young men and old men. Maybe those dreams and visions are the dreams and visions that could wake us up and pull us out of a particular kind of dread that maybe has gotten hold of your heart these last few years. And maybe this can be a time when God awakens something in you. And so I want to invite you into a couple of questions that are going to frame our time together, so that when we come back in about 20 minutes or so, we can come back to these questions. So let me invite you into these. So first, when you look to the future, what do you see? When he said there's going to come a time when your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. They're going to see some things. They're going to see some things about the future that are going to give them hope. When you look into the future, when you sort of forecast in your mind, what do you see? Do you see things going up and to the right? Do you see Christ the victor? Do you see the things that God is at work to do in our world? Or are you at a place, honestly, where life has just sort of torqued you up? And the things that catch your eye in the news or in the culture or in society, the things that catch your eye don't fill you with hope. In fact, they take you in the other direction. Instead of up and to the right, you just keep asking yourself, how much longer can this go on? When you think to the future, when you look to the future, what do you see? Let me ask you this one. What do you dream of when you dream for the people you love the most? What do you dream of when you're dreaming for the people that you love the most? That's kind of an easy one, right? Because that doesn't have to have a basis in reality. That first one has trend lines. But this one is just, what do you dream of when you dream for the people you love? Well, you dream that life is going to be better. Better than it is. Better than it looks like it's going to be. I mean, what do you dream of when you dream for your kids? Do you dream that the highest you could reach, that your ceiling would become their floor and they would go higher than you? They would go farther than you and faster than you, that they would see things, that they would do things, that they would accomplish things that you only dreamed of. Can I tell you something? Maybe that's what your parents were dreaming for you. And when you look around at your life now, even if life has been kind of challenging for you lately, I think any of us in this room would have to admit, we've been pretty blessed, pretty much beyond what we deserve. And to live where we live and when we live and how we live, I don't know that I did anything to deserve the blessings in my life. I don't know that I did anything to earn the blessings that I'm living in and walking in, but I sure want my kids to have it even better than me, and I want my grandkids to have it even better yet. What do you dream of when you dream for the people that you love the most? And here's one I want you to just chew on, hold on to until we come back to it in a little while. What would it look like if God were to pour His Spirit out on you? In those days, in these last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Well, what if the all people was you and me? What would it look like if God were to pour His Spirit out on you? And frankly, that question has gone around before. And sometimes there are people like you and me who say, you know what, I'm not so sure what that would look like. And I'm not so sure I want to let my guard down on that, because I don't know what that would mean. I don't know what it would mean in my marriage. I don't know what it mean in my workplace. I don't know what it would mean. I don't know what it would mean. I don't want to get weird. I don't want my life to get weird. I don't want to be on display. I just want to live my life and do my... But wouldn't you agree that if God had something He wanted to say to you, wouldn't you want to hear it? If God had something He wanted to offer to you, I mean, there's this line from Scripture that says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. And maybe it's just me, but I kind of want to flip the script on that a little bit and say, Lord, if every good and perfect gift comes from You, then I want to also believe that everything that comes from You is ultimately good and perfect. Even if it's something that I wouldn't have known to choose. Even if it's something that I don't understand in the moment. So Lord, if You've got something for me, God, I want it. If there's something You want to say to me, God, I'm all ears. God, if there's something that You want to pour out on my life, I don't know if any of you guys are coffee geeks. I used to be more of a coffee geek than I am now. But if you want to be one of the cool kids when you go into the coffee shop, don't order a latte, all right? If you want to be one of the cool kids when you go into the coffee shop, just go right past everything they've got on tap. If you want to be one of the cool kids when you go into the coffee shop, order a pour over. You know what I'm talking about, a pour over? Pour over when it's got that individual cone, you know? And you order exactly which coffee that you want, and it's freshly ground, and you get it, and they get the filtered water that's just the right temperature, and they begin to just pour it over it. You know what? I don't know if you've ever seen this. I don't know if you've ever done this yourself, but when you begin to pour the water, you pour it over just really slowly, and you just soak the grounds. And you know what? Here's what they call it. They call it the bloom of the coffee. It begins, the coffee, the ground, it begins to swell. And it begins to release an aroma and a fragrance. What would the bloom of your life look like if God were begin to pour His Spirit out on you? What would the aroma that would be released in the room? What would? And if you really want to be cool, have it poured into a clear mug so that you can see that beautiful clear coming down into the. What would be released in you? What would the bloom of your life look like? What would the aroma of your life look like if God were begin to pour His Spirit out on you? Well, to get to these questions, you may be asking a few other questions like this. For instance, you may be asking, so what is pour my Spirit out? What does that even mean? What does it even mean to say, I will pour out my Spirit on you? Who's eligible for something like that? I mean, because in Joel's day, it was a pretty dark time. And there weren't very many people who were kind of living righteously. If you read the book of Joel, and it's just a tiny little book, it's only three chapters. It's one of the minor prophets because it's short, not because it's not important. But you will find that there were people who were just, they were just living on their own. They were following after their own heart's desires. They were just going in whatever direction they wanted to go. Kind of like us. And there came a time when he begins to call for a certain kind of repentance, and he says, you need to tear your hearts, not just your garments. You need to come back and return to the Lord. And who knows, maybe, if you were to come with a sincere heart, tearing your heart, and just saying, Lord, I'm heartbroken for what my life has become. Maybe, just maybe, God would pour out His Spirit on you. Who's eligible for that? Well, I say I am. And I say you are. If you come to the place where you say, God, I need you. God, I've made a mess of my life. I've tried my best, but my best is not good enough. God, I can't fix this. God, I need you. If you come like that, you're a candidate. You're eligible for that. Who's eligible? I am. You are. What's the difference between prophecy and dream and vision? Well, let's just think about that for a minute. Let's think back to those questions. When you look to the future, what do you see, right? Because we always think of prophecy as somebody who's going to tell the future. But it's not just telling the future. It's asking God, what does my future look like? What does prophecy mean? What does it mean when it says your sons and daughters will prophesy? Oh man, I pray that the next generation has a hope that seems to have left the building for some of the previous generation. I hope that the next generation has visions for the future, visions for their own future that sometimes have slipped through the fingers of my generation and the generation before me. And those dreams are where you begin to say, okay, Lord, if that's what you want to do, what could it look like if I were to join you in your work? What could it look like if I made myself available to you? What would it look like if I offered myself on your altar as a living sacrifice to say, Lord, if that's what you're doing, I want to do it too. I want to go with you into that desired future. I want to have the vision. I want to have this longing heart that is always looking for what's next in Jesus. Man, what's it look like? Who's eligible? How do we go about it? And here's a question. To what end? You know, because can I tell you something? When I was growing up, the church that I grew up in, the culture of the church that I grew up in was very much a self-actualization kind of a culture. And the kind of the end result of finding your place in Jesus was that you could live a better life. That you could just, you could be happier, you could be healthier, you could be more well-adjusted, and life would just be better. Just be better. And can I tell you something? I am grateful that living with Jesus is better than not. I could testify to you that living a life with this predisposition to God that says, God, if you want to say it, I want to listen. God, if you want to pour it out, I want to receive it. Living with that kind of disposition is inherently better than not having Jesus. It is inherently better than going my own way in my own direction. It is inherently better. But there is an end that God has in mind that comes with the pouring out of the Spirit and something that God wants to accomplish in this desired future. And it says here in Joel chapter 2, that on the other side of this pouring out of the Spirit, on the other side of these signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth, that on the other side of this coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, there's this moment where it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I've got it marked in my Bible in Acts chapter 2 when this thing actually comes to some fruition. The thing that Joel talked about, that he prophesied about, that he dreamed of, that he had visions of for the future. On the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had lived his life and died our death, after Jesus had been buried and then raised from the dead, when Jesus got ready to go, he said, I want you to wait until you receive what the Father has promised you. And there they were. There they were, huddled together in fear of what was going to come through the door. And instead, what came through the window, Acts chapter 2, was a rushing mighty wind. Let me get my glasses on so I can actually read it to you. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And there were people from all over the world in Jerusalem at that time. And they were there, and they spoke different languages. They were gathered culturally, but they were divided culturally as well. And they began to hear this turmoil, this uproar, when all these people who didn't know any better just began to say what they heard the Father saying. And here's what it sounded like. It says, all of us, each of us, hears them in our own native language. And it just listed out Parthians and Medes and Elamites and people from Mesopotamia and Cappadocia and Pontus. All these people from all these places, Cretans and Arabs, and we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And it says they were amazed and perplexed. But they weren't amazed and perplexed because what they were hearing was gibberish. They were amazed and perplexed because what they were hearing was the wonders of God in ways that they could hear and understand. Amen. Somebody handed me a prayer request earlier for someone they love who is being pulled by the messages of the world in all kinds of confusing directions in terms of their identity and their preferences and all the rest. And we just prayed for a minute. We just stopped and prayed for a minute and said, Lord, in Jesus' name, could this precious child of yours hear the wonders of God in a language she can hear and understand? Because you know, that's the thing. God is always speaking, I'm just not always listening. God is always showing himself, I'm just not always clear on what it is. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you speak in such a way that we could hear and understand? Lord, would you give us actionable information so that we can go hard after you? When they heard them all speaking, they were declaring the wonders of God, each in their own language, and they were amazed and perplexed. And here's what they ask: what does this mean? What does this mean? And Peter just began to flesh it out. He said, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about in the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Sons and daughters prophesying, young men, old men, visions, dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And there's something in me that wants to say, time out! Time out, Peter, because you just misquoted Joel. That is not allowed. Foul, right? 15-yard penalty. I know, we got a football game in a minute. I don't know if you caught this, but when Joel, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was sharing this, when Joel was talking about all this, here's what he said. Sun to darkness, moon to blood, great and dreadful day of the Lord. And when Peter picked it up, he quoted it word for word. I mean, he got it letter perfect. Wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood, fire, billows of smoke, sun to darkness, moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. So where do you go to move it from dreadful to glorious? How do you navigate the distance between dreadful and glorious? Well, go back to those questions for a minute. When you look to the future, what do you see? Do you see glorious or do you see dreadful? I was talking to a friend this morning. He said, I feel like the enemy just keeps pouring into you. We were talking about dreams, but I've been having nightmares about the future. And I feel like the enemy just keeps gripping my heart with a fear of the future. And I just need help with that. Well, today's your day. Today's your day. When you dream dreams, when you envision a future for the people you love, can you see the hand of God, the power of God, the work of God available to them, through you to them? Can you see that? Because that's going to flip the script. That's going to flip the script and let you have this time when you can say, yeah, sometimes this world can be a dark and scary place. Sun to darkness, moon to blood. Blood, fire, billows of smoke. Sounds like last night's newscast. And this world can be a scary place. And if you can only see what you can see and touch and taste and feel, it's dreadful. Would you stand with me? But if God could give you His eyes on this, if you could see beyond the moment, if you could know the God who was and is to come, and if God could put something in your heart, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If God could put something in your heart that says, I've got something for you. I want to pour out my spirit on you. And when I pour out my spirit on you, where hate and fear was, I want to replace that with faith and hope and love. And where you had nightmares of what is to come, I want to plant in your heart dreams and visions of all that I have in mind for you and for your children. People who are separated and far away being brought near in Christ Jesus. I want to speak that to your heart.